Thank you, Catherine. I'm thinking that pretty much everything we say to you today, you already know. So, but sometimes it's good to be reminded of things you already know, and you mightn't, if you're like us, be putting them into practice. Or you might have sort of not clicked on how to put it into practice. Yes, come down the front. That's right. I was an Anglican minister for a number of years and I got used to people sitting up the back, so it's scary having people down the front. The format for this afternoon, we're going to talk probably for about 30 minutes, maybe a little bit longer than that. There's an opportunity for questions and feel free to ask any question you like. And then we want to finish by giving you an assignment. I should have said that you'll need a pen. But if you don't have a pen, then you can just imagine your answers. But we want you to think about how what we say today might work for you, because we're in our situation and you are in yours. There is a handout and hopefully you have got it. If you don't, they're up the back. So feel free to go and grab them. Let me pray, and then that handout gives us the outline of what we're going to run through this afternoon. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, that you have been with us by your Spirit, especially over this weekend so far. We know that. We've heard you speak through Mark and through Rory. We've seen you in the fellowship that we've enjoyed. You've spoken to us, Lord, as we've spoken to you in prayer. And so we'd ask that you continue to be with us this afternoon as we think about mission on the home front, as we think about how we might be ambassadors and witnesses for you. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. So the first question that we need to keep asking ourselves is, what is mission? Because I think sometimes we get it slightly wrong, if you like. So you will know from looking at the sources that I have used, my extensive research, that this is not a theological paper that you're looking at. When your resources and your references are Wikipedia, Britannica, and Got Questions, it's not a rigorous paper, but these three quotes help illustrate my point. So let's just look at them. Wikipedia says, mission is an organized effort for the propagation of the Christian faith. Missions involve sending individuals and groups across boundaries. And I think that's important. And you'll see as Sandra and I talk that that word boundaries we need to sometimes redefine in our mind. Although Wikipedia then goes on to say most commonly geographical boundaries. And we'll talk about that too. To carry on evangelism or other activities such as educational hospital work. And we heard about one of those in our mission focus this morning. Britannica says mission in Christianity is an organized effort for the propagation of the Christian faith. And then Got Questions, mission is following Christ's call, sharing the gospel with the lost world through God's wisdom and strength. It is not limited to international ministry. While believers should faithfully support those who go to the unreached on foreign soil, all Christians have the mission to share Christ on the home field with family, friends, co-workers and the community. And then Got Questions adds that the Christian mission of sharing Christ does not end with a sinner's salvation. The commission was to make disciples, not immature believers. So Christian missions involve not only evangelism but also discipleship. So what we want to stress is that mission is not just over there. And I think, as I said, sometimes we get that idea. We talk about mission agencies, and I've been in enough groups to say, define a mission agency, and 99 out of 100, they are international across those boundaries. And that's right and proper, and we'll see that in a minute. So talk to Brian about WEC, great organisation, doing that international work. But that's not when Jesus says, go and make disciples. That's not all that he means. And in the blurb in the booklet for this elective, we pick up on Acts 1:8. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, if you're a scholar in Acts, you can hound me on this interpretation later on. It's not quite theologically correct because Jesus was talking to the disciples in a different context. But the point is clear that our witness is not just over there. Our witness has to be here. And an organisation like BCA, we take this, in a sense, into our planning and say, okay, well, WEC is to the ends of the earth. Who's focusing on Judea and Samaria? Who's focusing on Jerusalem? What is your Jerusalem? What is my Jerusalem? What's my Judea and Samaria? What is my ends of the earth? So that's what Sandra and I want you to think about today. And we're going to go through each of those things out of Acts 1-8. We're going to talk about how do you think about mission to the ends of the earth? How do you think about mission regionally, locally, internationally, nationally, all of those sorts of things? The other thing I want to say under what is mission, and this comes from probably the last 2 years of travelling around speaking at different churches, I think as Christians we tend to lean, I was saying to Sandra earlier on, Christianity is a lot of trying to stay on the fence. Not on the fence theologically, but, you know, we could, if we were so inclined, go way over this way, or we could, like Revelation, interpret it that way or interpret it that way, or the Lord's Supper that way or the Lord's Supper that way. And often it's about sitting somewhere in the middle and holding those two things in tension. Mission is both word and action. So I've got quite a number of places that I've been to who are so focused on mission being action. We need to get out there and we need to do stuff for Jesus, which is good. We do. But if we never say why we're doing it, then people never know. You can't expect to build a toilet and not open your mouth and people all of a sudden go, "Oh, they're doing this because of Jesus." No, it's not going to happen. And certainly in my experience, that is, I'm aware of a number of agencies within my own denomination where that has happened and continues to happen. We do good things, but we don't tell people why we're doing it. Now, the other end of it is mission is all about calling people to repent. And I'm just going to call them to repent. And even though they are hungry and they need a roof over their head and whatever, the biggest issue in their life is they need to know Jesus. And that is true. But I suspect that they're not going to listen to you until you actually do something and help them. So there's that balance. That's what we're saying. It's both word and action. And again, I want you to think about your method of mission, and do you lean this way or this way? And there's nothing wrong with that. We're all individuals. But as you lean, remember those two poles and what the danger is in going down them. Okay, they're introductory. Let's think about mission internationally to the ends of the earth, which is not the focus, but we need to complete the picture. When I used to work for CMS, as a representative of CMS going around talking, doing deputations in churches, the standard format for deputations is 5 points. No, pray, care, give, go. BCA, as a deputationist, when I stand up to talk about BCA, no, pray, care, give, go. I don't know what it is with WEC, but I'd reckon I could boil it down to no, pray, care, give, go. That's what we call on people to do. So, no, pray, care, give, go. Know about the mission agency. before you jump in and do anything else, find out a bit about it. Is it something that you have a passion for? Is it something that you can relate to? Is it? So that's the first aspect of working in any mission agency and working with any mission agency. Know about it. Second thing is pray. And Sandra will talk a little bit about prayer later on. But if you do anything for overseas missionaries or local missionaries, the most important thing you can do is pray. Having said that, don't be surprised if God then taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, guess what? You're the answer to your prayers. Okay. So if you pray for missionaries to be cared for, then God may say, well, actually, you're the answer. How might you care for missionaries? Write, email. When I was working for CMS, you know, that things get handed down over the years, and the story is that people used to send used tea bags across the seas to missionaries. I'm not convinced that's caring anymore, but how do you care? Give. God may say, you're praying for them to be supported. Hey, you, support them financially. That may be another way of doing it. Or go. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Not often, but God is very good at just going, get a mirror. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send someone. There's the someone. You've got a great opportunity while we're up here over Easter to find out, to do that first bit, to know about mission agencies that send people to the ends of the earth across those geographical boundaries. So wander around up there. Have a look at SIM, have a look at WEC, have a look at the Baptist Mission, have a look, just have a look at all of them. People have come past our stall up there and they just grab pretty much everything that's on the table. Fine. The more you know, the more you're able to effectively pray, care, give, and go. So that's missions to the ends of the earth. That wasn't the title of our talk, but that's important. And I want you to hear that. That mission on the home front is not something that you do instead of supporting mission overseas. Jesus did not say, you will be my witnesses in these three places, take your pick which one. He said to the disciples, you, 12 of you, or however many small number it was on that day, are going to be my witnesses here, there, and everywhere around the known world. That was their job as 12. So don't neglect overseas mission to the ends of the earth, but let's look at home front. And again, I want you to think about, as I talk, who is your Judea? Who is your, where is your region? I can certainly, for most of us, say I know where our country is. I think most of us would be Australian-based, so there's a boundary. How do you do mission nationally? Same sort of things. First thing to do is to find out. I work for BCA. BCA does not do ends of the earth. Lots of other organisations do that. Great. That's not us. We focus on Australia. We don't focus on all of Australia. We focus on rural and remote Australia. So find out about organisations. What are they doing? BCA has links in the Anglican Church. Presbyterians have Presbyterian Inland Mission, does the same sort of things. Uniting Church has Flying Padres, do a similar sort of thing in rural and remote areas. There are organisations who work nationally within Australia to proclaim the gospel, to do mission. So find out about them. I want to say, as you find out about them, recognise For those who've just come in, there is a handout up the back. So if you want to grab one of those.
And there are seats in the middle and down the front.
Yes.
Or on the side.
Will we still pass?
Yes, you'll still pass. Yes. There is an exam at the end, but it's a I'll guide you through the exam. So for those who've just come in, we want to talk about mission. We want to talk about mission in all its breadth. We want to talk about mission being to the ends of the earth. Go and have a look at the stalls up there and find out more about mission to the ends of the earth. But now we're talking about mission on a national front and on a regional front. Find out about mission agencies that are doing that. And as I said, don't just come to me. There are lots of others. Talk to them. I want to say, though, and I've become more convinced of this over the last 2 years. I has 20 years in church ministry, and I don't think I ever thought along these lines. But I think mission in Australia is becoming more cross-cultural. Now, I'm hearing nods, and I think, let me explain what I think I'm saying. I get it that we've got a lot of people from not born in Australia, from overseas, coming to live here, to work here. And in that sense, it's cross-cultural. Absolutely. I grew up in the mid-north coast of New South Wales. So I've got an understanding of beach, surf. I can do that. I speak the language. I can do a bit of dairy farming because that was sort of the area as well. So I know what a cow is. I know what milking is. Last year, I went to the centre of Queensland, to Emerald, Dysart and Moranbah. And I was introduced for the first time in my life to mining. And I want to say, although a large majority of the people in Moranbah especially are born in Australia and may look like me, they spoke a very different language. And they were fly in, fly out, many of them. Now, that's a whole different lifestyle as well. So I think we assume that, oh, well, if you're going to be a worker, a gospel worker in Australia, you'll be fine. We'll just send you out from, you know, the suburban in Brisbane to Mount Isa. You'll be right. No, you need a little bit of understanding on the barrier that you're going to cross, the boundary, the culture you're going to be involved in. So remember that. Remember to, and again, I'm telling you things that I've learned. You know all this. This is a ridiculously big country. I remember the day that I was driving from Brisbane to Lightning Ridge, through Dalby, down through St. George, across the border. You know, and you're driving, you think, oh, for goodness sake, this is so, you know, 10 hours later. And then you have a look in a map and Lightning Ridge is only a third of the way to the Northern Territory border. Now, what that means is people who are in rural and remote areas are a long way away. So we have a worker in Cloncurry and he rang me. I spoke to him and his wife the other day and she actually said, there's been floods up around that top end. Some pretty major flooding. And she said, we don't have, at the moment, any dairy products in town. And she said, I was talking to my friends in Sydney, which is where they're from, and they said, well, what do you mean? You know, if Coles doesn't have them, you just go down to Woolworths. There it is. That's cross-cultural. They have one shop in town, and if the roads are cut and the trucks can't get in, you don't get milk. And that's hard for those who are living in suburban areas to understand. So it's a big country, and we need to realise that. So as we're thinking about mission on the home front, remember sometimes it is cross-cultural. We have to learn potentially a different language, a different way of thinking. As I said, BCA is part of that, trying to get gospel workers out into rural and remote areas. I can talk more about BCA, but come and talk to me at the stand or talk to Sandra at the stand up there and we can explain more. So that's getting to know. Do that. Find out. If you're in a particular denomination, ask. Do we have a group that actually works within our country trying to get people out? I'm saying to the principal of Brisbane School of Theology. I was going to say Bible College of Queensland, but let's go with Brisbane School of Theology. He and I were just talking about how there's a lot less people going through theological colleges these days. So that's a hard thing when you're trying to get gospel workers to go or when you're trying to build churches up. But also that God seems to be calling less and less people from that smaller group beyond the Great Dividing Range. Well, I don't think God's doing that. But there's a real lack of desire to go beyond the Great Dividing Range.
Sorry, which, can you qualify what you mean by Great Dividing Range?
Toowoomba.
Yeah.
So any further than Toowoomba and it's, no. Now, I'm not, please, you might have valid reasons. There might be, you know, fantastically valid reasons. But sometimes there's not. And it's not just here. So if you're in Sydney, getting anyone beyond Katoomba is very difficult.
Or Parramatta.
Or Parramatta, even, that's right. So if you've got a mission agency in your denomination who's looking at that internal part of Australia, that rural and remote area, find out about them. Pray. How are you going to pray for them? Again, wonderful prayer. God bless the missionaries. That's a great prayer. But maybe do a little bit more. I mean, it's great to pray that God bless the missionaries. Good. But maybe something more targeted would be more helpful. And that comes from finding out. So mission on the home front. Sorry, for those who came in late, I said Sandra and I aren't going to tell you anything today that you don't already know. So please don't go away from here and say, they didn't tell me anything I didn't already know. I've told you that up front. that's my disclaimer. That's right, yeah. But if you're praying for people, find out about them. You know, some people are able to pray for lots. I had one lady come past us this morning and she grabbed every prayer card off my stand. She went over to SIM. She grabbed every prayer card off there and then she went around to the WEC one and grabbed every prayer. And she said, I need these to pray. Now, I would find that really hard to have that many people in my prayer list, but she didn't. So praise the Lord for that. But be targeted in your prayers. So know, pray, care. How can you care for missions that go nationally in Australia or regionally, Queensland? How can you care? Well, as I said before, it's as simple as an email. It's as simple as writing a card. Some will send a birthday card to the kids. That's a nice thing to do. Your church may do mission trips. And they may go from you up to Cloncurry, out to St. George, to Thargaminda, to Charleville, wherever. That's another way of caring for people. As you go, though, and as you try and care, I want to encourage you not to expect things of them. I'll come back to that in a minute, but my experience in a couple of instances has been where people go to visit and they expect to have a lot of time with the missionaries on the field and, you know, find out what they're doing and have dinner with them and all that. That's just not on. In many respects, these people have full-time jobs. So when you care or when you go, think about that. Give financially support people. You can do that individually. You can do that through your church. You can do that through an agency like BCA, however you want to do that. That's giving. Yeah, so going, what you be, answer your prayers. So BCA have a group of people called BCA Nomads. They are grey nomads, or maybe not so grey nomads, who, as they tiki tour around the country, make it a point of calling in to locations where we have field staff. What do? Well, they paint the church. Or they take the field staff out for a cup of coffee. Or they offer to look after the kids one afternoon or one evening so that the parents can go out and have dinner. Or sometimes just going to a place, and even if you go when you're on holidays out there, just going to church and encouraging those field staff, those missionaries, just in their church, sometimes that's enough. But as I said, don't go out expecting that they will spend a lot of time with you. That's unrealistic. Pray with them would be a wonderful thing to do. Clean their house, walk their dog, mow their lawn. Kids' holiday clubs. So we've just had kids' holiday club up at Cloncurry and 2 weeks ago a mission trip to Lightning Ridge. Churches come up and they run holiday clubs for kids. That's a wonderful blessing. It's a lot of work preparing. It's a lot of work during the week, but the benefit, certainly from those two people who've spoken to me, is great. So that's another way that you can go without actually being the field staff yourself. So summing up, thinking nationally, thinking regionally, find out who is within your particular frame that works in that space. So if you're a Presbyterian, go and talk to the people from Presbyterian in their mission. See what they do. If you want to come and talk to Sandra and I, we can tell you what we do. But there are a lot of organisations working nationally and regionally. Okay. We're going to move on and look at local. And that's where we want to spend most of our time, and that's where your homework is going to be. So let me hand over to Sandra. And she will think about, help you think about national, locally.
So thinking about our Jerusalem, I guess, but even maybe smaller than Jerusalem, thinking about what is our, I don't know what suburbs of Jerusalem were called, but or what was our little village. So I'm going to try and still think about the know, pray, care, give and go. So in the knowing, I want you now just to think, and like this will be your homework and there'll be questions later, so maybe just think, but if you want to call out, feel free. But think about your neighbourhood, where you live and what that looks like. Think about the network of people that you're involved with. So it could be the people that you work with. It could be people that you play sport with. It could be people that you go to a craft club with. It could be people, if you have children at school, people that you see at the school gate. It could be the person who cuts your hair. People who are in your network. What are the things that they're interested in? What are the things that are on their mind? What are things that concern them? What do they need? And show them, so I guess that's the knowing, I guess, is just thinking about and asking questions and observing them. Spend time with them and get to know them. Find out what they enjoy doing. Find out what concerns them. What brings them joy? How do they spend their time? And that's about getting to know your neighbourhood. I've even been involved with groups that they just go and sit at the coffee shop and kind of just eavesdrop on conversations, not to judge people or to spread gossip or whatever, but just to learn, what are people in my neighbourhood talking about? What is on their heart? What worries them? And so just to find out a little bit that way. Listen to the people at work. Just not listen to respond, but listen to understand. What are they talking about? What are they talking about after the golf match that we've, you know, I don't know, so what you call it, a golf match, golf game? Sorry. Anyway, when you come back into the clubhouse after you've done your 18 holes, what are people talking about? So find out what's Yeah, what's on their mind? Show them that you're interested in their life, interested in them. And then pray. Pray for them. Sometimes there might be opportunity if you're talking to them, and I guess that might come up in the care. Everything I talk about always overlaps, so I apologise for that. I'm not a very structured person. But when you're praying for people, like you can say to people, would it be okay if I prayed for you? And that shows great care to them as for them as well. But take a step back from that. You can just pray for people. If mums have shared things with you at in the playground, you can go home and pray for that. At another conference I was at, a lady was talking about her RI class, her religious instruction class at school, and she was praying for every child in that class by name. She felt God say to her, "That's the first time I've ever heard that child's name in prayer. That's the first time anyone has prayed for that child by name." Now, that really convicted me as well. So just think about, you might be the only person who is praying for these people. But don't be overwhelmed by having a stack of 50 prayer cards. Maybe think of two people in your network. Might be somebody you work with, someone you run with. It might be the mum of your son at school, and it might be your hairdresser. Could be a person you play golf with and, I don't know, an Uber driver that you regularly use or something, I don't know. but try and think of two people that who you believe don't know Jesus and that you will commit to pray for them. Then we get to care. So we've done a bit of research. We've thought about what do these people need? How can we help these people? What concerns them? So how can you get involved in what they're doing? Perhaps they like running. You might take up running, do the park run with them every Saturday morning. It's not my thing. But anyway, perhaps you can go to a book club together at the library. They might enjoy craft. You can join their craft club. Something that they enjoy doing, go to what they enjoy doing. Get involved in what interests them. Show them that you care. If they're people in your neighbourhood, the people that you know, as you get to know them, offer to help them. Like with the field staff for BCA, think, can I babysit for you so that you and your partner can go out for a meal, go to the movies. Invite them to go to the movies with you. Take them around a meal, bake them a cake. Things to offer to mow their lawn, whatever. Things to show them that you care for them. Things to build a community, build a relationship, I suppose. Doesn't necessarily have to be things that you do alone. So there might be a few of you from church who are interested in starting a play group, or we have Mainly Music at our church, which is a great program. You get a lot of support from the Mainly Music organisation, but it's a structured play group. You have half hour singing, and then you have just some chat time and play time with the children and with the mums. So there might be different outreaches, different things that a group of you from church can do. Also, your home group might be able to take on, if you've got a home group or growth group or some kind of small group that you're involved in at church, it might be something that your group can take on and think, well, what, maybe we'll put our home group, our Bible study on pause for 6 weeks, and we'll, these people that we've been praying for, let's invite them to come to our home group for 6 weeks, and we'll do Christianity Explored or some equivalent course that you might, you know, we'll read the Bible together with our friends. We'll invite them to a meal and get them involved that way. Help them meet other Christians and see that we're just ordinary people. So I've sort of moved on to go without even realizing it. But so pray for opportunities and then take those opportunities. I heard an expression once about just push the door a little. That sometimes you can be having a conversation with somebody, they say something, and you think that's an open door, just push it a little. You don't have to go gang-busting through the door with the whole four spiritual laws, two ways to live, in the first opportunity. Just push the door a little. See if you get pushed back or if they open it a bit more for you. So pray for opportunities, take opportunities. I read a great article about saltiness and fruitfulness, but we've moved recently and I couldn't find it. Sorry, but it just was comparing that we often look for fruit and we think, oh, I haven't, you know, I've been praying for this person, but they haven't come to know Jesus. There's no fruit. But this article reminded me that we are called to be salt and light. We bring the love of Jesus to these people, to our friends, to our work colleagues, our neighbours. The fruit is God's business. It's His kingdom. It's His work. We take the initiative to bring the gospel to people in the power of the Holy Spirit and we leave the results to God. So take those opportunities, pray, but leave the results to God. I feel like there was something else I was going to say, but anyway, this is a great book. How to Talk About Jesus Without Being That Guy. It's bright yellow. It's easy to see. They do have it up on the bookshop by chance. It's by Sam Chan, who, is from Sydney. I think he's a medico by trade, but he works with City Bible Forum, who I think are also a partner of this conference. So it just, like, it's not rocket science. And as Michael said, and we've said right through, we're not telling you anything you don't know, but just to be reminded. So this has some great, tips in it about active listening, about listening to understand, not listening to respond, helping people realize that you are a safe space, giving people the opportunity to talk to you before we jump back in to respond. So I can't recommend this book highly enough. It's a great book. So anyway, check it out in the bookstore. It might not be for everybody, but I think it's great. There's lots of different ways you can be involved in your community. We've just moved into a, on the Gold Coast, we call them a complex. It's kind of like a gated community. But it's just a whole lot of townhouses all together. And so we're just kind of finding our way, thinking, well, how can we, you know, we could have a little Christmas party or a little barbecue or something for our little cul-de-sac area. Just thinking about different ways that we can get to know the people in our new community. Yes, are you doing the final comments? Excellent. So just, can I just encourage you to think about those two people and pray for them. And then look for opportunities, push the door a little and leave the results to God.
Okay. We'll finish off very quickly. Take away, you're a missionary. Okay. So don't tell me you're not. However you want to term that. Okay. You are a witness for Christ. And whether that is locally, nationally, regionally, internationally, whether that's in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or the ends of the earth, it doesn't matter. You are a witness. You are a missionary. Where you do things, and this is, I suppose, what we want you to start thinking about again, or continue to think about, I should say, it will depend on your season of life. So that's the next point down there under final comments. It is going to depend on where you're living. We are now in a gated community. Some people have called that an over 50s resort. I'm okay with that, but Sandra resents that.
no deal.
When we first went to Surface Paradise as a minister, what is the first thing you do as a minister? You look at the census data. And you figure out who on earth is in this area. Because I'm not going to start a kids club if we're all over 70. It makes no sense. So find out who's in your neighbour and find out what season of life you're in. We used to run a great kids' church. We started it with our son because he was four. And we built it up over the years until he was 15. And people come. People we meet at school, people we meet, you know. So now he's left home, so we don't have him as the attraction anymore. So we've got to think of other ways to do it. So it depends on your season of life. Mainly music was one thing. What else do we have there? Kids' church, RI in schools, that doesn't depend on your season in life. Well, actually it does, because if you're a full-time worker, teaching RI is difficult. It's hard to get the time off. So if you're in a church, don't expect your full-time workers to teach RI. It just generally can't happen. But you might have free time. Book club, pester the pastor, coffee mornings. I never had them, but I had a colleague who just used to go and sit in the coffee shop and say to his congregation and the community, I'll be there for 2 hours, come and pester the pastor. Whatever question, I'll shout your coffee, you talk. Anzac services. If you're in a residential community, I was going to say an aged care facility, that's not what I mean, but if you're in a place where there's a...
Over 50s
retirement village, holding or participating in an Anzac service or a Remembrance Day service is something that many of them will value. And most times a Christian input is expected, even if it's the prayer or the benediction. Take opportunities like that. But look at your season in life. Everything has a purpose, okay? So you and us are missionaries, we are witnesses. Think about, the question is there, what is the next step for this person in their growth in Jesus? That's how you look at those around you. What is the next step? Like Sandra said, what's the next pushing of the door? What's going to help them? Sandra was talking about when we were talking earlier on about the Engel scale. You may not even know what the Engel scale is, but basically people have no faith to people are full on for Jesus, and there are sections, there are steps along the way. So as you think about your hairdresser, where are they at? Because what's going to be appropriate for them in terms of your relationship with them, you're helping them understand Jesus, might be very different to your Uber driver. And the final thing is play the long game. I firmly stick to these words from Paul where he says, Apollos planted, I watered, and in many respects, then I scampered off to another church and did the same thing again. And it's God who gives the growth. You may be the planter. You may never see the fruit. Pray God that you do, but you may never. Don't be disheartened. Play the long game. Be prepared to invest in people's lives for the long haul. And that's important because you don't want to go into a relationship with the idea that, oh, well, I'm doing this for Jesus and I want to convert you. No, you want to love this person. You want to be in a relationship with them. And loving them means you want to share Jesus with them as a witness for him. We've given you another handout. Do you want to say briefly what that is?
Yeah, I forgot about that. Might surprise you. It's just an article about how to get involved in your community. I guess some things to think about. And I love that bit in the top center. It says a passion for God, a passion for people, and a passion for place where God has placed you. So it's just about, I think it's about two or three couples just talking about how they've been getting involved in their community. So it might just give you a few little ideas and encouragements.
Okay. Now, on the back page, yeah, you're actually going to have to take home this test, okay? Unless there's no questions, then you can do it here. But this is for you. This is you over here, if you didn't know. This is your little smiley face. And you have three spheres, in a sense, of witness for Jesus. You will be my witnesses. So we want you to think about, in these three spheres, right in the outside section, how are you going to learn about, support mission internationally? How's that going to work? Now, maybe you already do. Sandra and I support a friend in Thailand working for Pioneers. So we support her, her and her husband and their family. But do we read their newsletter? Do we pray for them? How are we going to do that? What are you going to do? And is it just one or is it 100? It's entirely up to you. How do you do that nationally, regionally? Or have you forgotten Judea and Samaria? Many Christians are good on local and great on overseas. And somehow they think that Australia can look after itself. So I want to challenge you on that. No, we need people to go nationally as well or regionally. So what might you learn about? How are you going to support mission there? And then in the little section there, write there who is in your neighbourhood. So for those who don't know the Sesame Street question, the people in your neighbourhood, in your neighbourhood. Yeah, so that's why that's there. So anyway, oh, look. I don't think we ever watched it with our son. I think that's from your and my childhood. Yeah, that's a long time ago. Okay. But who is it? Who is in your neighbourhood? And how are you going to find out about them, pray for them, care for them, give? Don't know what that looks like. And how do you go as Jesus' witness into your Jerusalem? How do you go? Take that home. That's your homework. Yeah. Hang on. It's 3:05,
yeah.
And we were scheduled to go till 3:00. So we'll. Yeah. If you need to go, go. If you're desperate to harangue Sandra and I some more, then please feel free.
Before
we go, sorry, Karen.
Can we Catherine? Just thank Mike and Sandra very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks, Catherine.